Hello, listener. Thank you for still staying tuned in Indonesia today through our audio streaming via inews.id and RRI Digital. I'm Nuka Kusumawati and I will accompany you to complete your weekend with highlight of the week. Indonesian Chambers of Commerce and Industry welcomes 19% Indonesia-US tariff, aims to double exports. Government reaffirms commitment to strengthening national food security. Now the news in details. Let's begin with the first info, where the Indonesian Chambers of Commerce and Industry (KADIN) welcomed the 19% import tariff agreement for Indonesian products to the United States as a strategic opportunity to double the country's export value within the next 5 years. Dora Pardede has the details.
The chairman of the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Anindya Novian Bakri, welcomed the newly announced 19% import tariff agreement for Indonesian products entering the United States, as announced by U.S. President Donald Trump. In a statement on his personal Instagram on Thursday, Anindya viewed the outcome of the government's negotiation as better than many other countries and considered it a major opportunity to boost national export and significantly increase the value of bilateral trade. According to Anindya, the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce is optimistic that within the next 5 years, Indonesia's export to the U.S. could double from current level.
Sekarang kan gini, kita punya apa?
All trade with America is $40 billion. We have $28 billion and US have $12 million. Maybe the $40 billion can be $80 billion in 5 years. If balanced, our $28 billion can be $40 billion. It means Indonesia benefits from this.
To seize this opportunity, Anindya stated that the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce plans to soon hold a meeting with domestic industry player, particularly from the textile, garment, footwear, and electronics sectors, which together account for a significant export value of up to $39 billion annually. He also emphasized the importance of ensuring sufficient production capacity to meet the expected surge in demand.
Next, we have information about Indonesia achieved record food output during El Nino. Government pushes downstream industry. Ofra has the details.
Indonesian Minister of Agriculture Andi Amran Sulaiman reaffirmed his commitment to strengthening national food security. He conveyed this during the Daulat Pangan or Food Sovereignty Discussions Forum held in Jakarta on Thursday, organized by the Gajah Mada University Alumni Associations or KAGAMA in collaboration with Public Broadcasting Radio Republik Indonesia. Amran stated that despite the country facing extreme El Nino conditions, national food production has significantly increased. He emphasized that this achievement is the result of swift policies and effective strategies in managing the agricultural sector.
The result just now, this increase in production occurred during El Nino conditions. This was the highest production compared to normal climate conditions. Let's look at September. In 2024, during El Nino, it was quite intense, very intense production reached 3 million tons. That was the result of our efforts, thanks to deregulation, effective budget strategies, and the courage to take risks. Next steps will focus on safeguarding food supplies.
Amran further noted that key commodities like corn and shallots had been successfully stabilized following earlier success in controlling the prices of chicken and eggs. He said the budget efficiency effort directed by the president opened up opportunities for downstream industry development and large-scale job creations. Investment worth 371 trillion rupiah or $23 billion is expected to generate up to 8 million jobs. He also emphasized that the government will continue strengthening food security through consistent and sustainable productions. This is aimed at ensuring public access to affordable food and maintaining national stability amid global challenges.
Now we have information about Retno Marsudi says food security impossible without water security. Ranoff has the details.
The United Nations Secretary General's Special Envoy for Water, Retno Marsudi, emphasized the importance of building water security as a key foundation for achieving global food security. She made this statement during a public discussion titled Food Sovereignty, Resilience Amid Geopolitical Disruption and Trade Wars held on Tuesday, the RRI World Service Building, Jakarta.
Bahwa air adalah kehidupan, dan tidak ada satupun kehidupan tanpa air. Pada saat kita berbicara mengenai ketahanan pangan,
water is life, and there is no life without water. When we talk about food security, we must first talk about water security, because they are closely linked. Let me share some data. 72% of the world's fresh water is used for agriculture. When we eat rice, 1 kilogram of rice needs 2,500 liters of water in a year. For 1 kilogram of corn, it takes 900 liters of water. In other words, we need a lot of water to produce food.
500 liter air dalam setahun. Dan untuk 1 kilogram jagung, diperlukan 900 liter air. Dengan kata lain, diperlukan air yang sangat banyak untuk memproduksi pangan.
She also explained that the world is currently facing a water crisis marked by three major challenges: floods, drought, and the politicization of water resources. Retno stressed the need for transforming the global food system to be more efficient, inclusive, resilient, and sustainable. She also encouraged the produce more with less approach, meaning to produce more food using less water. Retno concluded her remark by highlighting that the water and food crisis must be addressed in an integrated way through cross-sector policies supported by strong technology and data.
Let's move it on to our next info. United Nations support clean water access in Indonesia through multi-stakeholder partnerships. Ranoff has the details.
The United Nations UN continues to show its strong commitment to supporting access to clean water in Indonesia, especially in areas facing water shortages. This was stated by the UN Secretary General's Special Envoy for Water, Retno Marsudi, during a public discussion titled Food Sovereignty, Resilience Amid Geopolitical Disruption and Trade Wars, held on Thursday, July 17, 2025, at the RRI World Service Building in Jakarta. Retno said collaboration is needed to prepare clean water for the people.
I just returned from East Nusa Tenggara from Kupang Regency. There is a collaboration program between the UN, local government, private sector, and community organization to bring clean water access closer to the people.
According to Retno, regions like East Nusa Tenggara experienced water stress throughout the years. That's why this joint program aims to bring clean water sources closer to communities, even making safe drinking water directly available through private sector partnerships. She also highlighted the importance of strong cooperation among all stakeholders. In this clean water program, the UN provides technical expertise while the Indonesian governments work together with civil society organizations and private partners.
Our next info is about culture plays important things in strengthening the relationship between Indonesia and Thailand in diplomatic relation. Ofra has the details.
Taiwan's ambassador to Indonesia, Prapan Disyatat, emphasized the important role of culture in strengthening the relationship between the two countries. He delivered this message during the celebrations of the 75th anniversary of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Thailand held in Jakarta on Thursday. According to him, the artistic performances from both nations serve as a clear symbol of the deep historical ties and rich cultural heritage they share.
As we witness the grace of Thai dance, and the rhythm of Indonesian music, we are reminded that culture holds a unique power to connect hearts, transcend borders, and strengthen understanding between our peoples. It is my hope to see more of such collaboration and exchange of culture among our countries in the future as an integral part of our strategic partnership.
The ambassador also expressed his appreciations to the ministries of culture of both Thailand and Indonesia for their cooperation in organizing the cultural performances. The event featured various artistic presentations, including the Blessing Dance, a combined performance of Ramakien and Ramayana, and the Friendship Dance. He hoped this cultural momentum would continue to grow and further strengthen the Indonesia-Thailand partnership in the future.
Coming up next, information about Indonesian Minister for Migrant Worker Protection, Abdul Qadir Karding, emphasized that migrant workers must be protected by the state, citing the urgent need to reform migration governance and prevent human trafficking. Nora Pardede has the details.
Indonesian Minister for Migrant Worker Protection, Abdul Qadir Karding, said that migrant workers must receive protection from the state. Speaking at the Declaration of the Prevention of Human Trafficking Crimes in Riau on Thursday, Karding stated that exploitation and violence against migrant workers remain widespread, with 97% of cases occurring because workers leave the country illegally or through non-procedural means. Therefore, according to Karding, solving this issue requires improving the governance of migrant worker deportors and arrivals.
The main point is that we must work together. Ministries cannot act alone. Let's collaborate and build a system where all departures go through a single unified gateway.
In addition to establishing an integrated one-gate deportor system, Abdul Qadir Karding explained that the government will develop a strong vocational system to ensure public access to information, helping prevent exploitation and violence. He also stressed the importance of enforcing the law against perpetrators of human trafficking.
Next info is about Indonesia. U.S. agree to cut export tariff to 19%. Prabowo highlights Garuda revival. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto revealed that after a tough round of negotiation, Indonesia and the United States have agreed to reduce export tariffs on Indonesian goods to the U.S. from 32% to 19%. In his statement to the media at Halim Perdana Kusuma Air Force Base on Wednesday, he explained that the figure was agreed upon after both sides considered each other's strategic interests. According to the president, the 19% tariff have been carefully calculated and thoroughly assessed.
Semua sudah kita hitung, semua.
We have done all the calculations, and all of this was negotiated. What matters most to me is my people. I must protect our workers. While we have our own stance, this is our offer. We cannot afford to give more.
Beyond export tariff, Prabowo also mentioned Indonesia's plan to purchase new aircraft from Boeing as part of its broader cooperation with the United States. The president stated that the Boeing deal reflects Indonesia's commitment to revitalizing its national carrier, Garuda Indonesia. He emphasized that strengthening Garuda is not merely a business strategy, but a matter of national pride and dignity. Last but not least, we have info about Indonesia seeks to strengthen economic ties with Mercosur through IMSEPA. The Indonesian government continues to expand its export markets and global economic cooperation, one of which is through the initiation of the Indonesia-Mercosur Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, IMSEPA. This effort is part of Indonesia's broader strategy to diversify trade with non-traditional markets, particularly targeting Latin American countries, especially the five Mercosur members, Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, and Bolivia. Director of Intra and Interregional Cooperation for the Americas and Europe at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Nidia Kartikasari, disclosed it in an exclusive interview with Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Thursday, July 17.
And I believe when the agreement takes effect, we anticipate significant growth rate in trade volume between Indonesia and Mercosur, including with Brazil, because this agreement will provide new opportunities to reduce deficit by boosting Indonesia's exports of high-value manufactured goods. So if you look at the data of this trade between Indonesia and Mercosur, especially Brazil, what we see that actually the exports of Indonesia products basically are products with added values or manufacturing products.
She further explained that the IMSEPA agreement is expected to boost Indonesia's export of value-added products such as palm oil derivatives, electronics, and automotive parts. The cooperation is also seen as crucial for supporting domestic downstream industries and developing future sectors, including electric vehicle batteries. IMSEPA is also expected to open opportunities for investment and technology transfer while strengthening sustainable industrial collaboration between Indonesia and Mercosur countries. Listener, that was some information that happens in Indonesia this week on Highlight of the Week.
Merchandise, baby, I could for ya, for ya. Yeah, but you one of a kind, not for sale. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Bukan barang obral, baby, ku gak lagi gombal. Kayak musik cantik, ku ingin cepat take vokal. Kamu eksklusif, aku cari modal. Perlu tanda jadi, okay, ketik proposal. Bukan masalah, aku dapat duluan. Tapi hubungan kita jelas ada tujuan. Kamu nomor satu, gak perlu pakai urutan. Kita punya hubungan yang lain, gak urusan.
Told you things I did before. Told you everything I went and how I used to be. Would you go along with someone like me? And we can start this thing brand new.
You got something new. Hey, I wanna know you.
Wanna know.
You got anything new? Come on, I think I love you. You got something new. I wanna know you. You got anything new?
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. and via streaming on voanews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you. Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Lalu mengapa kau diam saja, tak berdaya? Di belia usia, di masa yang paling indah, kau tampak tak bergairah. Sementara yang lainnya hidup seenaknya, seakan waktu takkan pernah ada akhirnya. Hanya mengejar kepentingan diri sendiri, lalu cuek akan derita sekitarnya. Astaga, apa yang sedang terjadi? Oh, astaga, hendak kemana semua ini? Bila kau muda sudah tak peduli, mudah putus asa dan kehilangan arah. Sementara yang lainnya hidup seenaknya, seakan waktu takkan pernah ada akhirnya. Hanya mengejar kepentingan diri sendiri, lalu cuek akan derita sekitarnya. Astaga, apa yang sedang terjadi? Oh, astaga, hendak kemana semua ini? Bila kau muda sudah tak mau lagi peduli, mudah putus asa dan kehilangan arah. Oh, astaga, apa yang sedang terjadi? Kemana semua ini? Astaga, apa yang sedang terjadi? Oh, astaga, hendak kemana semua ini? Bila kau muda sudah tak mau lagi peduli, mudah putus asa dan kehilangan.
Of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Welcome back, listener, and thank you for staying tuned in Indonesia Today. Listener, now let's listen to VOI Talk on Pacu Jalur, the viral event with Vincentius Jamadu, Deputy Minister for Events Development of Indonesian Tourism Ministry, hosted by Rahma.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. At the moment, all eyes are now on traditional rowing race from Indonesia's Riau province, namely Pacu Jalur. After a video showing a boy named Ryan Arkandika dancing on the tip of Pacu Jalur boat during a race goes viral. So how this phenomenon benefits Indonesia's tourism and what is Pacu Jalur itself? Let's find it out more on today's VOI Talk from Voice of Indonesia with Bapak Vincentius Jamadu as Deputy Minister for Events Development of Indonesian Tourism Ministry. Hello, Pak Vincentius. Thank you for joining us today on VOI Talk.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Pak Vincent. So we are now really excited, enthusiastic right now, especially Indonesia's tourism following the viral video. So how does the tourism ministry view this phenomenon, Pak Vincent?
First of all, thank you very much for the Radio Republic of Indonesia, for the international voice, yeah. We are quite happy to share this big news and this a good story from Indonesia to the world. Pacu Jalur, or rowing the boat, will be held this year on 20 to 24 August 2025 in Taluk Kuantan, or Kuantan Singgigi Regency, Riau Province. Yeah, and this event is a part of our flagship program under the Karisma Event Nusantara. Some events that is professionally and comprehensively curated by professional curators outside from the Ministry of Tourism. And we are expecting a strong participation from both local and international communities. And as far as the tourism point of view is concerned, well, we see Pacu Jalur, which is now viral internationally, is a soft power diplomacy. Okay, it's a cultural diplomacy to the world that, well, Indonesia is really rich of culture, and we are happy to share to the world. Okay, so within the situation in geopolitics, which is, you know, in a VUCA situation, volatile, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity, Indonesia comes with something different, something new. This is, I think, a soft power and cultural diplomacy to the world. Okay, and I think Pacu Jalur also, in terms of tourism, can create friendship and harmony, peace to the world. So at least that's the beginning of the tourism perspective before we come to more explanation about the impact of Pacu Jalur to tourism sector.
Okay, Pacu Jalur, soft power diplomacy, but with great power, not only in the country, but also in the world. So now we come to the impact of this event for tourism first. How do you see the impact of this phenomenon, Pavin San, to Indonesia's tourism?
It's been our concern and commitment to, you know, organize or create events which bring impacts to the society, not only economy, but also the social environment perspectives. In terms of economic impact, if you look at the figures last year, Pacu Jalur has contributed to revenues or the local economic turnover up to 42 billion rupiah. Okay? This is only for a certain, maybe less than 1 week. So we see that there is there has been a tremendous impact on economic in terms of turnover for the local government revenue. Okay? And this also contributed by hotel occupancy, transportation, food and beverage, and also the other sectors which are also supporting the tourism as the multiplier effect of tourism.
Wow, lots of effects from tourism.
For sure that for this year, we are expecting to increase by 20 to 30% compared to last year figure.
Wow, okay. Hopefully, will be realized. Okay, tourism, social, economic development, and now we would like to know about the plan to make sure that Pacu Jalur is not a one-hit wonder, Pak Vincent.
Yeah, I think that this is a really good question because what happens sometimes that one that is viral and then stop and then, you know, this is something that is common, okay?
Yeah.
Everywhere, not only Indonesia. So, the Ministry of Tourism is really paying much attention on this. That's why yesterday I just sent an advance team to Riau to make sure that the preparation is well organized for this year event. And we make sure the collaboration with the local community and the local government, okay, what seems to be the measures, what seems to be the action taken by collaborative work with the local government for sustaining this event. So it's not just a one hit and then stop. So in the ministry itself, okay, under the leader of Ibu Widianti Putri, okay, she has instructed us to collaboratively internally with some deputies. Okay, so for my deputy, we are responsible for the event itself, but deputy for human resource is trying to set up the programs. Okay, how we can give the assistance, how we can give the provide the trainings, okay, for the local people to prepare and to make sure that those coming to enjoy Pacu Jalur, they will feel, you know, safe. They will comfortable not only for the accommodation but also the tourist attractions. Okay? Apart from this, we also set up programs, okay, to give trainings, okay, to give the education for Dika, or many Dikas, okay, in Riau to make sure to go well. This is your way ahead to promote Riau as a world destination, so I have to make sure that destinations are well prepared to be the good host, okay, with the hospitality, okay, training in hospitality, training in the language, even training in content creator, okay, because that's the key. Okay, we know we have a lot of young Dikas out there. Okay? And they need to be provided with sufficient knowledge, okay, how to create good content, how to share, and also how to put in the reels or with a TikTok, Meta, Instagram, and other social media. I think this is very important. This Pacu Jalers has been viral just because of the content. Okay? How professional the content creator to make this as attractive as possible, and how they share, and in what time in the day they can share it is to get more attention from the public. Okay? This is really important.
Yeah, that's the power of social media, how we can
see
many international figures, even athletes from around the world, do the viral dance to celebrate victory. Very interesting. The last time I saw was Mark Marquez, the motor racers. Okay, so Indonesia, the tourism ministry, the bottom line is that we are ready to welcome visitors or tourists this year to Pacu Jalur 2025 to anticipate the surge of visitors following the popularity of the race. And what about the target of domestic and international tourist arrival in Riau this year, especially to the competition, to the event?
Yeah, when we talk about the target of domestic tourists coming to Riau province, I think we will target 1.5 million domestic tourists, okay, and 75,000 international tourists coming to Riau in 2025, okay. But for this specific event, okay, we'll target around maybe 200 until 300,000 domestic tourists and around 10 or 15,000 international tourists coming to Riau to see this Pacu Jalur event. Okay? We are expecting that this target will be achieved, and we're quite optimistic to reach this target.
How many countries will participate in Pacu Jalur event this year?
Well, I think this is a good question. And this is what I'm thinking of. Actually, there is no official list of how many countries joining this competition. But in the future, with being viral right now, I think we have planned to invite participation from other countries to join the competition. Okay, because so far, let me give you a background first of Pacu Jalur. Pacu Jalur is a, you know, something like a cultural celebration of the local people. It is even more, you know, more interesting than Idul Fitri or Idul Adha for the local community. So far, Pacu Jalur is the traditional celebration for the culture. But nobody knows that now it becomes an international attention. Okay, so I think your question is a very good question. Okay, now I'm thinking how we can make this an international event. Okay, from local to global. Okay, so maybe next year we would like to invite the participation from the neighboring countries to join this competition. I think this would be a very interesting point of view.
Okay, Pak Vincent, another interesting information is that the viral video features a song from American rapper Melly Mark's Young, Black, and Rich, right? And I heard that he volunteers to sing his song at Pacu Jalur event this year. Is it true? Any confirmation about this?
Yeah, well anyway, actually, first I heard this from his own Instagram, okay, that Melly Mike will come to see by himself the Pacu Jalur. But when I tried to reconfirm to the local community, the local government and the local committee, and they reconfirmed that Abel Mike will come himself, okay, on that day, maybe 5 days in Riau to see me. And he even wants to sing a song. Okay? So this is a really beyond expectation. And this is really, you know, amazing for us, and I think for all Indonesian people. So we try to reconfirm that, well, Melly Mike will be coming to join or to participate in this event, and he himself wants to contribute a song, a program song for this event.
Wow, sounds really exciting.
It is exciting, yes.
Okay, so we can sing along and move our bodies together at this event. Okay, and being viral is indeed good for tourism, isn't it? And thank God it is viral. But what is the government's real plan in making sure other stuff is also viral and therefore affects tourism itself?
Yeah, I think you are absolutely right. Being viral, seems to be, you know, challenging, and also maybe pro and cons. Why? Because, you know, we have to make sure that we are really well prepared and well organized for everything. Okay? Why? Because we don't want to make a public lie. Okay? When people come to Riau and see the reality like this, or like that, okay, I think it's not good for promotion. So what we are trying to do, actually going viral is a welcome bonus. Okay? But our strategy is deeper than this. Okay? The ministry is focusing on a digital first approach to promote event in the Charisma event and Charisma event in Nusantara 2025 program. Yeah. And this includes strengthening our own media influencer partnerships, digital storytelling, training for local event communities, or AI-based trend analysis, and strong collaborations with platforms like YouTube, TikTok, Meta, and also I think with Radio Republik Indonesia. I think this is a good media to, you know, disseminate this good information.
Why not?
And we're also focusing on immersive experiences and narrative branding so that each event tells a story compelling enough to be shared globally.
Okay, Pavin San, let's do this together, hand in hand.
Yes.
And what would you like to convey then to our listeners here in Indonesia and around the world about Pacu Jalur itself? Maybe you can remind once again when and where it will be held, because maybe our listeners are happening to be here in Indonesia. And what would you like to say about this event and Indonesia's tourism and culture in general?
Well, for my brothers and sisters and all the Radio Republik Indonesia listeners out there globally, okay, Pacu Jalur will be held this year on 20 to 24 August 2025 in Tepian Narosa, Taluk Kuantan, Kuantan Sengigi Regency, Riau Province. Okay, note for the dates. Okay, remember the dates. 20 to 24 August 2025 in Riau Province. Okay? And I have a key message, okay, for young people out there. Okay? Now social media is really powerful. Okay? Please, okay, make use of this, okay, media social for positive thing like what we have done with Pacu Jalur. Okay. It's being viral globally. So if you have something that is unique, if you have something that is really interesting, amazing, okay, share it globally, okay, in a positive way, in a wise way, and I think, of course, also in a very smart way. And you will get out of this with a positive result.
Thank you so much, Pak Vincenzio. Mark your calendar, listeners, and to Indonesians, hopefully there you can be more and more Dika as Indonesian, yes, tourism ambassadors with the aura farming, netizens says, describing the movement. All right, Pak Vincenzio Jemadu, Deputy Minister for Events Development of Indonesian Tourism Ministry. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing about Pacu Jalur. Well, listener, that's today's VOI talk revealing the viral video that actually roots from Indonesia's tradition that turned into competition that is expected to be not only nationally but also internationally. Stay tuned for more inspiring, insightful interviews from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Aku mengerti perjalanan hidup yang kini kau lalui. Ku berharap meski berat kau tak merasa sendiri. Kau telah berjuang menaklukkan hari-harimu yang tak mudah. Biar ku menemanimu membasuh lelahmu. Izinkan ku lukis senja, mengukir namamu di sana. Mendengar kamu bercerita, menangis tertawa. Biar ku lukis malam, bawa kamu bintang-bintang. Untuk temanimu yang terluka, hingga kau bahagia. Aku di sini, walau lagi coba lagi jangan berhenti. Meski berat kau tak merasa sendiri. Kau telah berjuang menaklukkan hari-harimu yang tak indah. Biar ku menemanimu membasuh lelahmu. Izinkan ku lukis senja, mendengar kamu bercerita, menangis tertawa. Biar ku lukis malam, bawa kamu bintang-bintang. Untuk temanimu yang terluka, hingga kau bahagia. Izinkan ku lukis senja, mengukir namamu di sana. Mendengar kamu bercerita, menangis tertawa. Biar ku lukis malam, bawa
bahagia.
RRA Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments, and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
Daylights this time, I will invite you to observe the tradition of seeing the Sultan of Kasepuhan through the tradition of Chaos. In the midst of modernization that has begun to dominate their life, people in Cirebon still honor heads of palaces in the region, such as in Kasepuhan Palace of Cirebon. Cherry's unique way, which has rooted and become a tradition in Cirebon community when they want to see their sultan. The tradition is called Chaos and is meant to harmonize relationship between the sultan and his subjects. Or maybe nowadays, when the power of the sultanate is only symbolic with the surrounding community. Gusti Sultan Sepuh XIV, Pangeran Raja Adipati Arif Natadiningrat, explains.
Ada di sini namanya tradisi Chaos.
There is a tradition here called Chaos. It is the tradition of the people in villages when they want to see the Sultan. They bring rice, chickens, eggs, vegetables, fruit, even firewood. Some bring envelopes with money, not produce, which is more practical. It always happens every day. Sometimes when I was having a guest, they came with Chaos. I would receive them first. It happens every day, but mostly in the month of Maulud. There can be thousands of people from morning till late in the afternoon. I have to shake hands with everybody then.
The mission of Cirebon community in visiting the Sultan is very simple. They just want him to pray to God for their success in farming, trade, working, also for a blessed life. Actually, they can simply pray by themselves for asking all such earthly things. But a sense of trust and love toward the Sultan has made people in Cirebon still observe the Chaos traditions to date. According to Gusti Sultan Sepuh XIV, Chaos is one of the many traditions that are still observed by people in Cirebon.
Some of these traditions are routine in nature, such as on Islamic holidays. Like in Hindus in Bali, they always observe certain traditions on every major Hindu holidays. While since we are Muslims, from the first of Muharram month in the Islamic calendar to the next Muharram, we have our own tradition.
The rooted tradition can still survive until today, although there is no specific day for the public to visit the Sultan. Yet, in the midst of his busy life, the Sultan Sepuh XIV continues opening the doors of the palace wide to receive his people. That was a glimpse of Chaos tradition in Cirebon. Thank you for your attention and see you in the next edition of Indonesian Delights.